In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Luke, the second chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, after a major event happens in your life, there is this moment where time seems to stand still, and your mind begins to think about, to mull over, to ponder the significance of what just happened. Maybe it's the celebration of a birthday with your family and friends gathered around you, and you stop and think about all the gifts and blessings you have been given in this life. Maybe it's a graduation of your son or daughter or grandchild, and you stop and think about their accomplishment and the endless possibilities and opportunities that their future has in store for them. Maybe it's a wedding day, and you stop and think about how your life now changes. It's not just your house, your car, your money, and your life. No, it's our house, our car, our money, our children, our life together that we build hand in hand. Maybe it's a divorce or separation, and you stop and think how you got there. The fights, the loneliness, the abandonment, the heartbreak that you feel as you think about what should have been. Maybe it's a stupid, sinful decision you made, and you stop and think about the guilt and the shame you feel from that one moment of weakness, that one thing you said or did that you wish you could take back and undo. Maybe it's a severe or terminal illness, and you stop and think about how your future used to look like endless possibilities and opportunities. But now it looks like medication and doctors and hospital rooms and pain and suffering and sorrow and surgery and treatment. Maybe it's the death of your spouse, parent, child, close family member, or friend. And you stop and think about the emptiness and loneliness in your life, the hole of the empty chair at the dinner table, and the gigantic hole that is now in your heart. In our gospel reading for tonight, Mary has a moment like this, a moment where time seems to stand still and her mind begins to think about, to mull over and ponder the significance of the birth of her child, the cause of the content of Mary's pondering, though, is not the census of the decree of the government, a 5 to 7 day, 80 to 90 mile walking journey to Mary and Joseph's hometown, or the taxes that would come from it. And it's not pondering the strangeness of her birth experience, the swaddling cloths, the laying in the manger of her baby, nor the fact that there is no room for them in the inn. Nor is she just simply pondering how the birth of a child changes the life of a husband and wife. She and Joseph now have the joyous and difficult and awesome responsibility of caring for and raising a child. No, all of these things happened before verse 19. What Mary is pondering is the words of the shepherds. For when the shepherds came to visit, they joyously spoke of the angel who appeared to them and told them that a child was born this day in the city of David, and that this child is the Savior, the promised Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. That if they go to Bethlehem, they can actually visit and they can actually see with their own eyes the very Creator of heaven and earth, the very one who caused them to exist and be born in this world. The one who would save them from their sin in order to bring about a new and everlasting peace for all mankind. A peace that was sang about in the heavens as the sky was torn in two and the multitude of angels called in the field above them, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. This is what causes Mary to ponder, for time to stand still, back for Mary and now for us tonight. This is what causes us to stop and to think about and to mull over, to ponder the significance of the major event on this most holy of nights. Just think, dear saints of the living God, just think, this is the defining moment of all human history. This is the fullness of time. God has sent forth his only begotten Son to be born of Mary. And from this day forth, all time shall be defined by him. Every year leading up to this birth shall be called BC, before Christ. And every year hereafter, even 2025 and 2026, shall be called AD, the Latin phrase Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. Just think, this child, this only begotten Son of Mary, is the fulfillment of what was spoken to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, Adam back in the garden, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and throughout all the Old Testament. God's word, it is not like our word. When we tell someone we are going to do something, how many times do we fail to do it? We are not fully and faithfully men of our word. When we speak, it does not always happen. But God is a man of his word in this child, in this Christ. When he speaks, it happens. Let there be light. And there was light. Peace, be still. And the wind and the waves were silenced and calmed. Your sins are forgiven you. And the paralyzed man sprung to his feet in joy, carrying his mat home on his shoulders. Lazarus, come out. And he who was dead and rotting in the tomb for 4 days came out and lived again. God's word, it is trustworthy and it is true. He has spoken and he will do it. Just think, this promised child, this only begotten Son of Mary, begotten Son of God, this true and faithful word is the Savior of all who believe in him. He has joined you in the flesh. He is wrapped, he is swaddled, not just in clothes this night, but in the body of a man. He has entered into our world of birthdays and graduations and weddings. He knows your joy. And he has known your deepest sorrows and pains as well. Pains and sorrows of sin and broken families and illness and disease and death. He is a man of sorrow, intimately acquainted with your grief. And he does not desire that your life end in sin or brokenness or loneliness or guilt or shame or suffering or pain or death. No, this Jesus does not desire your future to be cut off or to be cut short. He does not desire the death of a sinner. And so he hung on the cross, suspended between the heavens and earth he created. He hung on the cross in love for you, for me, for Mary, for the shepherds, for the world. He joined you in your suffering, and he suffered for you, and bled for you, and died for you, to save you from sin, to save you from death, to save you from the power of the devil. Just think, once you and I, Mary and the shepherds, were far off from God, conceived and born in sin, once we were enemies of God, once we were destined for hell. But now, in this promised child, in this only begotten Son of God, born of Mary, In this true and faithful word, in this Savior, we are reconciled to God. There is no separation, no division, no condemnation or judgment for you who believe in Christ Jesus. God is not angry at you, dear repentant sinner. God is not angry at you. And he's not looking to punish you. In Christ, you who are far off have been brought near to the Father through the shedding of Jesus' holy precious blood. In Christ, you are a son of God through faith. For God has put his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, in you, so that you cry out, Abba, that is, Father. So that the Father runs to you and he says, welcome home at the end of days. Welcome home. Come, let us rejoice, my dear son. For you were dead, but behold, you are alive again forevermore. You were lost, but now you are found. Come, let us celebrate. All that I have is now yours. Come with me and inherit the kingdom prepared for you, a kingdom without sin and broken families and illness and disease and death, a kingdom of endless joy and celebration. Come, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Come live forever with me in my kingdom that has no end. Just think, dear saints of the living God, just think. Treasure all these things up and ponder, like Mary before you, the significance of this most holy night. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Merry Christmas. Amen.